Welcome to In His Footsteps with award-winning author Margaret Agard, sharing practical tips for living a joy-filled life and amazing interviews with people who do. Now here's Margaret.
Today we'll be talking about hygiene and health and why getting dirty might be good for your kids. You think Jesus got dirty when he was growing up? You know, where he lived, they actually had people would wash your feet when you went to visit people. They had their slaves wash their feet for them.
Now here's this week's Bible question and answer, brought to you by the Amazing Bible Timeline. Quickly see 6,000 years of Bible and world history together on one color-coded wall poster. Find out more about the Amazing Bible Timeline or ask your own Bible question at AmazingBibleTimeline.com.
The Bible question this week, who are the Nephilim? What's interesting is the King James Bible doesn't include that word. In this approved version, the Hebrew word has been translated as giants. A lot of myths have grown up suggesting they were fallen angels who had, intercourse with human women or were the offspring of such. And Eastern's Bible Dictionary says this: giants, the Hebrew word left untranslated by the revisers, is the name of one of the Canaanitish tribes. So perhaps Goliath is part of those. Coming up, Sharon Clough of Oregon State University shares with you her research suggesting there's a reason why women get lupus 9 times as often as men and other autoimmune diseases, and it relates to things that happened in your childhood and what you could do about it for your children or grandchildren. Tell us a little bit about your research.
Sure. It's a real pleasure, I should say, Margaret, to talk with you, and I look forward to hearing what your listeners think. My research concerns what's called the hygiene hypothesis. It's sometimes called the old friends hypothesis as well, because the idea is that that research has been casting around for explanations for why it is that in industrial developed nations, there's been this radical increase in disorders of the immune system, such as allergies and asthma, and then more serious conditions like lupus and Crohn's disease and rheumatoid arthritis.
And I know people with all those things and children.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So these rates of these diseases are increasing in the nations of the industrialized world. And folks working on the hygiene hypothesis or the old friends hypothesis are wondering if it's related to the sanitation policies that we have in place in these countries, clean drinking water, the ways in which we organize our cities and things like that. And there's growing support for this hypothesis. And as I was, and the reason it's called the old friends hypothesis is the alternate title, is the idea that we've actually, as humans, evolved with these access to exposure to germs and bacteria of all kinds, that these are sort of old friends, and that maybe now that we're no longer being exposed to them, that's throwing our immune systems out of whack. So
because they're almost like developing a muscle that our immune system have to work to be in top condition.
Well, it's absolutely, that's one way to think of it. And another, it turns out, is that some parts of our immune system don't actually even turn on until they're exposed to certain kinds of bacteria. So it's actually a really complex relationship. It turns out that humans are, we're 90% of the cells in our body are non-human. They're actually bacterial. And this is mostly because of the bacteria in our gut, but also, in our mouths and in other places. But we've got a very complex relationship with bacteria, and it might be that our sanitation policies, and again, this is a generalized claim over large populations, it's not going to affect everybody at all or the same way, might be messing up the regulation of this complex relationship between our bodies and bacteria. And as I was reading this research, Margaret, I was thinking, I know that women are overrepresented in all the populations of folks of interest here. So as adults,
with MS and lupus. In fact, I don't think I've ever met a man who has lupus. But,
well, yeah, lupus is one of the weirder ones. 9 to 1, women are the patients are women outnumber men 9 to 1. It's really weird. Now, you know, the mechanisms for lupus are very different from rheumatoid arthritis, and they're different from asthma. But insofar as they are all failures of immune regulation, it might be that the hygiene hypothesis or the old friends hypothesis has something to add to this. Insofar as it does, it struck me, Margaret, that we need to pay attention to the fact that women have these diseases in way higher rates than do men, way more than you'd expect. You know, if women are 50% of the population, it's weird when you see, you know, 90% of the patients coming in as women rather than men.
Right.
And I should say, for most of these differences, sex differences, they have tested to make sure that it's not just a result of women seeing doctors more than men, you know, which is sort of one thing you might expect. So what is going on? And I thought, well, if it's related to hygiene, you know, if it turns out this hypothesis is true, you know, one of the things we could look at is the differential hygiene expectations that were placed, you know, 30 or 40 years ago on these women now who are patients when they were growing up. And
when you say differential hygiene, you mean they were expected to stay clean while boys were allowed to get dirty?
Yes.
Okay.
let me give you some examples. So I was looking, in particular, feminist literature in anthropology and sociology from the 70s and 80s. There's a real surge in interest in looking at whether or not there were differences in the ways that parents raised their children. And the statistical patterns are really quite astonishing. So girls, or boys more than girls, were encouraged to play outdoors. And this is, I should say, ages 3 to 4 seems to be where this kind of exposure is the most important. So you and I, Margaret, are just out.
We're out of luck.
Yeah, we're out of luck. We shouldn't be rolling around in the dirt because we're already, it's too late for us. But for infants and toddlers, boys are more often given toys with which they would sort of dig in the dirt, and they're also dressed in ways that encourage them to engage in rough and tumble play, whereas when girls are dressed in dressy dresses, some of the analyses done in the 70s were very interesting. It sort of even affects the ways the girls move their bodies, you know, because if you're in a dressy dress, you don't want to tumble because your underwear is going to show, you know? So
right.
There's all kinds of things I hadn't even thought of. So I was looking at all these statistics that had been very well documented and thought, if the sanitation explanation is right, then if you pay attention to these gender differences in the ways that women, and again, this is a general pattern, it's not going to hold, there's going to be lots of women in your audience who were tomboys when they were kids, and but as a general pattern, when you're looking at large populations of folks and explaining disease patterns, this should be something these researchers are looking at. So that's the main thing I was sort of pushing epidemiologists to pay more attention to. And it seemed that once you did pay attention to this, all kinds of you allowed all kinds of new experiments you could imagine, and it also responded to some puzzles in the literature. Can I've got an example. Can I share
good
one?
Good idea. Yeah, share
all
an
right.
example.
Yeah. So, well, you and I were talking before the interview, you live on a farm.
Yes.
It turns out that kids today raised on farms have much lower levels of asthma and allergies when they're young, when they're teenagers, than kids raised in urban settings. So that's one of the things that helps support the hygiene
hypothesis.
Do you
think it could have anything to do, though, with the air that they're breathing than with
sure.
Yeah, okay.
Well, so I guess it depends on what you mean by the air. I mean, I work at Oregon State University, which is a land-grant institution, which means it's devoted in some sense to the people of Oregon and helping them, you know, in their economy. And one of the parts of the Oregon economy is ranching. And we have cows.
Yes.
On a particularly cowy day.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Smell
yeah.
them.
As my husband would say, smells like money to me. Okay.
Well, there
but
you
he
go.
He was a dairy
but
man,
part,
so yes.
Part of what you're smelling is... you're actually smelling molecules of cow poo. So you're ingesting them, and when they get to a certain rate, you can smell it. So
But that would,
insofar,
I mean, in
you're
a
closer
city,
to the light.
In a city, though, you're smelling car exhaust or...
Right,
yeah.
Right. So I'm going to guess here because I didn't actually look at what people were smelling. It was more what people were eating.
Okay.
Because it turns out when you play in the dirt, you ingest a lot of it. And there's actually studies looking at this, which cracked me up.
Okay. Oh, but this is exciting for me because I was hoping the whole show I would get to say, my grandmother always said to me, and she would just pick up the sandwich I just dropped in the ground on the picnic and wiped off the dirt. Well, everybody has to eat their peck of dirt before they die. That's what she would say.
Yeah, so I should say, Margaret, one thing I've talked with some other news folks in the past about this research, and one take-home message everyone sort of wants is, well, should we have our girls eat dirt?
Yeah.
And I kind of want to say no.
Because
it turns out just 1 gram of ordinary uncontaminated soil, I don't know what that means, but you know, you can sort of imagine that sample, contains 10 billion microbial cells.
Yeah.
So, we just don't...
She did brush the sandwich off, okay? Like, I wasn't expected to actually eat the
right,
dirt.
Just blow it off. Right, but I suppose one take-home message could be that, you know, if your kids have healthy immune systems and if you're okay with them rolling their sandwiches in the dirt before they eat them, you should be just as okay for the girls doing that as the boys, I suppose. You've got no good reason to make that distinction. I'm okay with saying that.
Okay, you're listening to In His Footsteps with Margaret Agard. We're talking today with Sharon Clough about her research into why women are more likely to get autoimmune diseases than men, and it might have to do with how dirty you get in your childhood. So does that hold true for you and the women you know and the girls you know? So what some people are going to say, my friend Karen said to me, well, that doesn't hold true for my daughter. She was a dirt magnet. The minute she stepped out the door, she was covered, and she has asthma.
Yeah. Well, so epidemiology, or the study of ways in which diseases move through populations, really, there's almost no explanations in epidemiology that account for 100% of the experiences of the people in that population.
Yeah, so it's not. It's more statistical. Like, she's less likely to get asthma, not that she won't get
and
asthma.
So I should say that sometimes I get excited when a listener will say, oh, you know, I was a kid and I ate dirt and I rolled around in the dirt and I never get sick now. And although that supports my hypothesis, I can't be excited about it because it's just one instance.
Right.
And it's just, you know, so these are looking at broad patterns.
Yes.
And so, there's going to be lots of kids who grow up with allergies who were living out on farms, but statistically it's less likely. Yeah.
Right. What you're really saying is dress your girls so they can go out and play in the dirt and not be worried. And you know what it said to me as a mom is stop feeling so guilty that your kids used to get so dirty.
Right.
You know, because I was always looking at them, and as a daycare provider, I can remember mothers coming to pick their kids up like, oh, how could you let my kids get this dirty? And I thought, well, they were playing. And I began to feel really bad that I was a bad mother because my kids were always needed a bath. I mean, there was no way we were going to have a bath every other night. They had it every night.
Right.
But now I feel much better, and they are very healthy. They all are very healthy.
I think that's just great. I think, I mean, part of what the hygiene hypothesis is saying is that, you know, all of us have this is affecting men and women, boys and girls, fewer of us for just these sorts of reasons. You know, oh, no one wants to get dirty. We're all worried about germs. You know, kids don't get as much recess as they used to. Their playgrounds are increasingly paved over, or else they don't go out and play so much out in the playground because parents want to supervise them. And when they get supervised, they're less likely to get dirty, which sort of makes sense. And I should say that was actually one of the sex differences, that girls play is more often, or at least 30 or 40 years ago, more often supervised than boys play. But this is going to, you know, now affect boys and girls, you know, just as badly. They, you know, insofar as boys are inside playing video games and stuff, they're going to be, again, this is a generalization, but statistically more at risk for, if the hygiene hypothesis is right, way more higher risk for allergies and asthma when they grow up than the kids who were out playing. So all of us need to worry a little less about the dirt and
right, and still be reasonable because, you know, still wash your hands before you eat and
right.
Yeah. And after you played with the cat, so you don't get that, whatever that cat disease is. Yes.
I know. Well, I have to say, this is the tension, is that it's actually, Margaret, as you can imagine, there are all kinds of diseases that folks in the industrialized West don't get because we are living in cleaner, we have cleaner drinking water and things like that. So
right.
In many ways, you know, we actually have what we'd want to say is higher standards of health living than lots of folks all over the rest of the planet. So this is kind of this ironic kind of backlash that we just don't have any way to distinguish between, you know, what sorts of germs we should be rolling in and what sorts of germs we should, I mean, there are clearly lots of germs we still want to avoid.
Exactly.
So, yeah, the jury is still out on how just to get the good ones. And I don't think, who's that woman selling the yogurt that...
Oh, the probiotics, yes. Okay.
Probiotic yogurt.
Yes, like, if you have had to take an antibiotic, you better eat this probiotic yogurt after.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the way to go yet. So the jury is out on all of that, Margaret, but these are the questions that we now have lots of different experiments we can imagine working on now if we think about gender in ways that we hadn't before.
Right, and I think that's great, and I do think it is true. And sometimes it really isn't the parents so much as little girls themselves. I know I raised 8 children, 5 boys and 3 girls. And I really did, you know, try to be gender
neutral
in what they did. You know, you want to play with the dump trucks, go ahead. But I'm telling you, I watched them pick up sticks and the little boys were like a sword and the little girls were like a fairy wand. And, you know, there's just...
Where it's the same item.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, this could be a whole other show, Margaret. There is, this one's kind of tricky about just how much kids bring to these things versus how much is sort of social pressures externally. And
yeah, from watching the videos or whatever.
Yeah,
still.
Yeah. One thing to remember is we are social creatures we're social creatures in utero. They're now doing studies, it looks like, because you can find out the gender of your baby ahead of time. Many women can do this. You can, women are talking to their babies differently if they know it's a boy than a girl. You know, it's really hard to tease apart the messages kids get from the stuff they come with sort of naturally. It's a hard experiment to run. And it's sort of an interesting, why are we, given that it's all so mixed up together right from the get-go, it's not really obvious that it's a useful project to engage on.
Right.
If
you're just joining us, you're listening to In His Footsteps with Margaret Agard. Your guest that you're listening today is Sharon Clough. What do you think? Do children play outside enough today? They just on that study about how kids who are allowed to just play by themselves or in groups the way they used to are better able to make executive decisions and plan.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
I haven't seen that. Oh, that's really interesting.
I'll pull the article out. I'll email it to you, Sharon, when I find it. But that's what he's saying. And it was, you know, like the kids used to play in groups and they used to plan the baseball game and who's going to do what. Now their parents are doing it all and they don't develop those skills.
So is it sort of like the difference between like where you and I would just, you know, leave home in the morning and just go all day and play versus kind of the more structured play of play dates and everything that's happening now? Oh, wow. That's really interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Huh. And I, you know what? I actually think we've got it backwards, but that's because I think we should supervise our teens more.
They're
the ones who need to be a little more supervised. So we would stop teen pregnancies, you know, it's like, and when they're little, but the problem, of course, is the neighborhoods.
Right. Right. And people don't know their neighbors as well anymore. And because people are moving around so much, it's quite complicated.
Another study was the one that shows about the fact that they don't have time on the playground. That's related to how well they do on those tests.
Hmm.
That children need time to play. And their brains actually work better after that. And so the kids who have more playground time actually perform better on the tests. And the kids who are kept in the room trying to force them to do well on the tests
So with all our worry about teaching to the test and having these sorts of standards where, you know, schools are freaking out and taking away their recess time and giving them more mathematics, in fact, up to a certain age, it's working against them. Wow.
Exactly. As a mathematician, I look at a lot of statistical things, which are correlation versus causation.
Yep. Right. No, but it is really, I mean, epidemiologists struggle with that all the time because it's unethical to run these sorts of experiments. But what one thing you can do to make it more causal than correlative is look at cultures that are, or societies that are becoming industrialized. So you can sort of watch a natural experiment in process and see if, as the, whether or not the, you know, better access to clean drinking water and things like that is tracking, say, intestinal bowel disorder or something. And there's actually studies in India in certain industrialization rates and seeing if that corresponded to higher rates of some of these autoimmune disorders.
You're talking about Crohn's disease?
And intestinal bowel disorders generally, so some of that gets lumped, and it's where in some industrialized nations they're noticing increases that seem to be tracking. Now, again, I guess that's a correlation, but, you know, if...
Well, that it often does point to a cause. I just, you know, the famous one in the statistics books shows a correlation between sunspot activity and stock prices.
And, well, and ice cream, I remember the ice cream example, ice cream going up and swimming deaths. ice cream sales going up and swimming deaths. Another sort of natural experiment that, if I'm right, could be useful to look at is, if I'm right about the gender difference, then the rates for asthma and autoimmune disorders should be increasing more for boys than girls as our society, you know, so pick a
As they begin to move inside more. That's right.
Yeah. As we're all moving inside more, it should affect boys more than girls because girls, you know, according to this theory, have had these constraints on them more than boys all along, and now boys are just catching up.
Well, that was interesting. You know what I want to know? What do the neighbor and the holler think? What about you? Let's go find out. I'm going to talk to Tanya first. She lives right next door to me in the holler. She's got three little girls. So here's the question. Do you think your girls get dirty enough?
They did when they were little. They were dirty all the time. You know, outside playing, like in their just their shorts or whatever, they were always dirty. But
right, right. And who do you think was dirtier?
Out of all the girls?
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know.
Really? I'd be guessing.
I would say probably her, Taylor. But they were, mm-hmm. whatever one was doing, they were both doing. So they were both just dirty all the time when they were kids. They'd come in at night and they'd just be filthy. So
yeah. And did you feel like a bad mom because of that? Or you were like, no, that's good.
No, I didn't feel like a bad mom. They was just out playing, having fun. They'd come in. I'd go out and check on them. They'd get bathed every night.
There you go. People do play outside here in West Virginia, and those kids are just, she's got three girls, and then I thought, well, maybe it's a generation gap. Maybe people didn't play out so much before, but you would think, nah, they played out more. But I decided I'd go ahead and check with Bubba and ask her. Bubba's, you know, older. When you were growing up, did you get to go outside and play in the dirt? Did you like it?
Yes. We played outside all the time.
Yeah.
In the dirt and the mud and everything else.
Yeah, especially here in West Virginia, how can you avoid the mud?
Well, sure. As a matter of fact, back then, you was made to get outside and play.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't sit in front of video games and all that stuff like kids do now, no.
Yeah, I can remember my mom was like, out, don't come in.
Sure. Yeah, you had to get outside and play then.
Yeah. How about Josie? Is that how you what you're doing with her?
Yes. Well, we don't have to make Josie go outside. Josie has all the latest technology and the, you know, the games and all this stuff. But, you know, when it's warm weather, we don't have to make JC go outside and play. She wants to.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't settle. But I think she knows we'd also not let her sit on top of these video games and get out and play. But she's just always been outside and played when it's warm weather. That's where she's at.
Hey, could you tell us what Josie did for those people who had the fire the other day? Because I just love this. This is so good.
Oh, the fire? Her and one of her friends had made a little billboard sign and had gotten some pictures of the fire, you know, where the people's house had burned. And they put it on this little billboard thing and went out here to the end of the road where the main traffic is and started getting donations for the people that their house had burned. Just, I think they collected, well, I think it was almost, it was either $38 or $48 that they had collected. I was truly impressed.
Did they tell you they were going to do it, or they just went out and did it?
Oh, no, they came up with it on their own.
And just went out and did it?
As a matter of fact, it was JC's friends. It was one of JC's friends. It was her neighbor. They lived out back of them. And they just came up with the idea to help them out.
I just think that's wonderful. I mean, it's just so...
Oh, I do too.
Yeah. I'm impressed.
And especially they wasn't asked to do it. They just came up with it on their own. Just wanted to help.
See? There's proof. Unsupervised play leads to the development of leadership skills. You know what? I decided to go back one more generation and talk to someone who's about the age of Bubba's mom. I called Vita Lee down at the store. I want to know if she kept her girls too clean.
No, I don't think that would be true.
Not true for you, huh?
No, or my kids, or no.
They got plenty dirty?
Oh, yes.
And you have how many girls? Do you have one girl, two girls?
I just have one, but being in store business, I had a lot of kids at my house.
And what you saw was all of them out there. Well, and did you see the girl? Were the girls dressed in dresses? When I was growing up, I think I played in pants during the day, and then at night I had to come in and put on a dress before dinner.
No, we didn't do that. Mine just played out all day in shorts or pants or... we did a lot of dirt bike riding, and our kids did too.
You mean
in mud holes, you know?
Are you talking about dirt bikes with motors, or just?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
called dirt bikes.
Dirt bikes.
A lot of people would call them motorcycles, but they're dirt bikes.
Okay.
Dirt and mud and heels.
Yep. Given how people get outside all the time, if that theory is true, West Virginia should have lower rates of lupus and lower rates of asthma, but that's not what I'm seeing.
Now, this day and time, kids rather sit in and play games on the computer.
Yeah.
But we couldn't even hardly hunt ours when dinner was ready. Couldn't hardly get them in.
Yeah, my mom, when we went and spent the summers up in Nova Scotia, and we lived on the bay, so you could just go for miles. She had a foghorn she used to blow.
Because
you could hear that thing. You could hear that thing a mile away. Yeah.
We had James's mom had a big old cowbell.
Yeah.
And she cooked for work hands, and when the meal was ready, she'd ring the bell. Here it comes.
Yep. Thank you once again to you, neighbors in the holler, for sharing your wisdom. God sent us down here with wash and wear skin. There's a reason for that. Don't you like hearing from researchers that what you've been doing all along was the right thing to do? I personally was pleased to hear that playing in the dirt was the right thing for my grandkids to do and my own kids and me. And I was really pleased with the research that showed that eating dark chocolate is good for my heart and brain. Researchers, yeah, go.
You can find out more about how to have the joy that comes from living each day for God while still keeping up with daily life in the book, In His Footsteps, How to Be Happy in Every Situation, available at the website inhisfootsteps.com or online at amazon.com.
You can get more information on our guests and our discussion today, including replays of this show at inhisfootsteps.com. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Margaret Agard. You can reach me at P.O. Box 173, Duck, West Virginia 25063, or through my website, inhisfootsteps.com. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Be sure to join us next week for more practical tips on living a God-directed life and amazing interviews with people who do.